Usually when there's something that's scaring everybody else off, there's opportunity there. You just got to get a clear strategy that you know you can implement to get through it. A lot of times those problems scare everybody off, so you're the only guy at the table, which gives you a really strong position to negotiate.
This is the naked truth about real estate investing. Your host, Javier, has already been through all the brain damage of this business, so you don't have to go through it. That way, you're not exposed to all of the risk of losing your shirt or getting caught with your pants down. So let's dive into another No BS episode right now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show, to the naked truth about real estate investing. I am your host, Javier Hinojo. And today I got Mario on the show. He's going to talk about mobile home parks. I haven't had many folks on the show that talk about mobile home parks. They got over 800 pads, done over 19 transactions, over $50 million of mobile home parks, which is pretty cool. He spoke at my mastermind in Vegas a few weeks ago. So I'm very grateful for you being out there, Mario, taking your time and sharing with everybody, you know, some tips and secrets and things like that on your mobile home park acquisitions, or just answering questions, which I'm going to talk about because there's something there that actually my wife's like, why didn't you think about that? And we'll come back to that. All right. So why don't you go ahead and fill everything else in? Because I know you used to do single family. Right. You see the single family and then you went to mobile home parks and just kind of tell us a little bit about more about your history.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, Javier. And actually, your mastermind was awesome. The billion dollar boardroom was absolutely phenomenal. You had just super top notch people there. And I thought what I got out of it is that everybody there was really serious about growing and scaling. And I liked it too, because people were in different property types. So again, thank you for having me to that in Vegas and being on the show. I'm a big fan. So yeah, I got started in mobile home park investing, kind of jumping back to around 2008. I had a real estate brokerage with a partner, and that was going well. I was helping some clients who were investors buy and sell single family homes. And so I would do the acquisition for them. I would also handle the disposition as the broker, but then they would do the rehab in the middle. And so after doing that for a little while, I went to my dad, who had a lot of construction experience, and said, look, you've been in construction, both residential and commercial, your entire life. Why don't we partner up? Why don't I handle the acquisitions and dispositions? And then you handle the construction aspect. And we just team up and we just buy these ourselves. And so we did. Ended up shutting down the brokerage and focused on buying single family homes from about 2008 through 2014. Had an opportunity to start investing in Southwest Florida in 2009, which was like, I couldn't have timed it better. I mean, I can't say I was smart in doing it. It's just an opportunity came up and I took advantage of it in 2009. And that's when our single family investing definitely took a huge jump, because it was just so distressed down here. I'm in Naples now. And at the time, investing in Florida from Minnesota was just, it was cool. It was tons of blood in the street, tons of opportunity. And around 2014, we decided that getting out of single family was a good idea. We'd been in that trading business model for so long. It was really a job. And although it produced a lot of income, it was a job, and it was constantly buying a widget to sell a widget. So we focused on looking at apartments, and we love apartments. We were struggling to find some for a few months. And a banker friend of mine came to me and goes, hey, look, I've got this mobile home park. You can buy the non-performing loan from a bank. I know you've done a lot of non-performing loan acquisitions on the single family side. This is probably a good fit for you. So we looked at it, did some homework on the industry really quick, and it was very similar to apartments. There's a lot of parallels. It's a little bit different, but there was a lot of similarities. And so we ended up buying that deal, foreclosed it out, took the property back, and that was our first community. And from then on, we've been focused mostly on mobile home parks with a little bit of self-storage on the side.
Man, that's cool. You got involved 2008, 2009, 2010, when Florida was like at 20 cents and a dollar, man. I'm like,
it was awesome.
You know what I mean? I think about the movie, The Big Short, one of my favorite movies, when you got this couple walking in the neighborhood and the house was like 600,000, right? And then it was like 130,000 for sale. And they're like, we're going to pass. I think we can get it cheaper. I'm like, holy crap. Something like that.
Southwest Florida. I mean, it was like a ghost town, man. You'd walk down the street and literally, it was just tons of vacant homes, and most of them were new construction. A lot of them never even lived in, which was even more mind blowing. A lot of speculation.
I don't think we'll ever see another time like that. But if we do, you better believe I'm gonna take advantage of that.
I know, me too.
But Anyways, so single family, then you say, hey, you know, I don't want to buy a widget to sell a widget, right? I want to go ahead and build some long-term wealth, some long-term net worth, and some cash flow as well. So
right.
Talk to me about multifamily, mobile home park, and self-storage, right? Tell me, like, the best thing about multifamily, the worst thing. The best thing about mobile home park, the worst thing. One of each.
This is good. This is fun. All right. So apartments, I love them because they're in super high demand. They are affordable housing. You do own the structures. So you can kind of control the quality and the cleanliness of it. And so that's definitely a positive. I think there's consensus that it's an excellent asset class to own. And we'll buy them. We love them. And then negative on apartments is, you own the building, so you have to maintain them. And it's definitely a competitive market, but I would say all three of those are very competitive right now. So the positive is what I said, negative. Let's jump over to mobile home parks. Mobile home parks, you don't own the homes. And so we just collect lot rent, and therefore our maintenance and expense ratio is very low. We've got, for example, our turnover is super low too. Like, we're under 10% a year on turnover because most of our residents own their home and they live with us for decades. And so another good thing about it is whenever a home sells, usually we're not involved in that. We're just basically approving the buyer like a homeowners association would, but we just keep collecting our rent. There's no make ready. There's no prep to release it. So that's the good thing. The negative thing about mobile home parks is they're gritty. They have a pretty bad rap. And on top of that, there's really, I would say it is harder to control the condition of the homes. We do have authority to evict or fine and do other things to get residents to keep their stuff in line, but it's like a homeowners association. Because we don't own it, often the only way we get control of that home is by taking it through eviction, and then we can fix it up and sell it. So it's kind of a good and bad on both ends. Self-storage, love it. What I like about it is the leases are month to month. And so it's really good for keeping up with inflation. You really have that rent, what do you call it? Optimized rent or whatever, where the rent basically changes based on your occupancy, just like how you have in hotels, similar to that. So you can really keep up with inflation on it. The negative with self-storage is it's easy to build them. And so, you know, you buy one here and then somebody goes and puts one up the street just because they aren't doing their homework and they're flooding the market with them. So there is an issue with supply. And I think it's not as bad as it will get, but, you know, developers tend to not pay attention. They just build whatever the lender will let them build. So that's my positives and negatives for each. I like all of them. And, you know, we own more parks than storage, and we own a little bit of apartments, but they're more in our communities. I will continue to buy more of all three.
That's awesome. That's a great explanation. I mean, I'm sitting there like, yep. And for the,
you own a mobile home park.
I own a mobile home park.
Yeah.
And when we took over that mobile home park, we every Tuesday, the park manager called us one day. It's like, hey, you know, the new park manager, sorry, property management company. They're like, you know, for the last couple of weeks, I was wondering why there was this ice cream truck driving every Tuesday and only adults would go to it. You know, I'm like, okay, that's weird, right? It's like all the kids are at school. But then I decided to walk up to it and they were selling meth out of the ice cream truck. It was just a mess.
Some really good ice cream on there. Really good dessert.
And yeah. This is not a bad part of town, right? It's a good part of town. It's not bad. It's a working class. It's just the last previous owner did a really bad job managing the property, right? But no, we got all that cleaned up. We got rid of all the bad tenants. We demoed most of the bad trailers, things like that. But yeah, definitely. I was hoping you didn't say meth ice cream trucks or meth trucks.
So did you buy any?
Did not buy any. That's what I asked the property management company. Hey, so how much was an ounce? Like, no, I don't even know how you buy meth, to be honest with you, but I think maybe an ounce is too much, probably.
Yeah, probably.
I'm sure it probably is. But yeah, so definitely own mobile home park. And I was wondering what you were going to say. I knew the negative part about the mobile home park, right? Could be a little greedy. You know, you don't have as much control. But like you say, you're like a homeowners association and you can always find people and kick them out, right?
Right.
The good thing is that once they're there, your park is cleaned up, it's cash flows because people don't want to move, especially if their trailer's worth 15 grand, right? They're not going to spend 5 grand to move it,
right?
Across the street to save 50 bucks. You know,
it's super just, sticky tenants.
Yeah, it's just not going to work, right? And then if somebody happens to leave and they leave the trailer there, well, now you got a trailer, right? And you can sell it to an investor, or you can rehab it and sell it yourself, owner finance, you can do a lot of stuff with it.
100%. The way I explain it is mobile home parks are kind of like a homeowners association in combination with a developer builder, meaning like we lease the lot, Tenants pay us lot rent. They own their own homes. But whenever we have an empty lot, we bring in homes, we set them up, and then we sell them like a builder would. And then they start paying us lot rent as well. So it's kind of this weird sales and rental hybrid combined. It's unique.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. So what I was really curious about, what the negative side on the self-storage, right? You were going to say, and I'm not surprised you said that, but I hadn't thought about it, you know, but it's one of the things that you definitely got to do in the self-storage. If you're going to buy something or build something, right, do a feasibility study, right? Cost you $5,000-$10,000. Have somebody come in and tell, yes, the market's good for self-storage, right? Or the market's saturated, like don't build one.
Right.
And that could definitely be a definitely negative, right? You buy yourself one, you stabilize it, and here comes a big national store and it just puts one five times bigger than yours, you know, right in front of you.
And they empty you out because they're doing concessions for 2 years to fill up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that could definitely be, and it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to get your zoning and permits to build a self-storage than it is to build an apartment building. Yeah, if you try to build a mobile home park, that's something different. That's like,
yeah, good luck.
It's almost impossible. It's almost impossible.
That's why we like them. They're really moated. Yeah. I mean, we never worry about competition in the mobile home park world because our competition is actually decreasing. Supply is decreasing while demand is increasing. So it's like this awesome position to be in.
Yeah, especially if you get to buy a mobile home park like inside the city limits, right? It's got city water, city water, and it's grandfathered in. Like, in a way, nobody wants it there. But if you're the owner, you're like, hell yeah, man, I got myself one in the city. Like, you know, like nobody else can. You just can't tear down the warehouse across the street and build another mobile home park. It's not going to happen. It ain't going to happen.
They're ugly, and I don't want one down the street for me, but it's very cool to own them. And yeah, you take some arrows for owning them, but it's like a lot of times these parks were built on the outskirts of town. And then what happened is the city continued to grow out around them. And now there's an old parcel with an old use that nobody wants there, but it's super valuable. It's a great covered land play too.
For sure, right? But you know, money's still money, right? Cash flow still cash flow.
That's right.
Just for you golfers, right? You get a birdie and then maybe bounced off a tree, skipped over the water, right? You got lucky because you came out of the sand trap and got a birdie. Hey, look, the scorecard doesn't have any pictures, right? It just says birdie, you know?
I love that.
Still counts the same, you know. So, anyways,
money
that's super
green,
cool.
Baby.
That's right. So cash flow is still cash flow, and I know there's plenty of money to be made with mobile home parks. So tell me a little bit about what are you guys buying now? Like, what are you guys looking at? What part of the country? What size?
Yeah, so we just closed on
a buy box.
Yeah, we just closed on one in Pennsylvania, which that was the first one we've ever bought up there. We own in Florida, Georgia, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, and Texas right now. So kind of all over the place. I mean, the states that we won't buy are really, you know, New York, Illinois, and California. But for the most part, Midwest, Southwest, Southeast, and mountain regions are kind of where we're looking. 50 plus occupied lots is where we start to get interested. And utilities ideally are going to be public utilities. But like this last one we just bought is a well with city sewer. But, you know, we'll look at private utilities if the deal's right. So I think we're pretty flexible, and we buy some fairly hairy deals. Like that first deal we bought, it was a non-performing loan. That was a complex deal to take down and to turn around. But that's where the opportunity is. Just like you, I mean, you're always looking to add value to properties, right? And so we're okay with buying problems as long as there's a clear path to stabilization to get to where we want to go. And so
super cool.
Pretty flexible.
Yeah, that's awesome because especially when you buy those unique properties or you got to be pretty creative, those can have the most upside, right? As long as you have that clear path.
You have
to do this, and this. And once we do all this, bang, we're going to bank on this over here, right?
Usually when there's something that's scaring everybody else off, there's opportunity there. You just get a clear strategy that you know you can implement to get through it. And a lot of times those problems scare everybody off. So you're the only guy at the table, which gives you a really strong position to negotiate.
That's awesome, Mario. I mean, that's some really, really good, some really good insight. So if you guys find any, if you guys buy a single family, self storage, you know, anybody in the audience and come across a mobile home park, right? Reach out to Mario, and his contact information will be here in the show notes. Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about MHP Tribe. That's a Facebook group. It's a good way to contact you. You also have a YouTube channel. So go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, really what's happened is, as you know, you get busy and you get, you know, entrenched in an industry, like you're huge in the apartment world and other commercial real estate. As you start talking to people, they start coming to you going, well, hey, you know, can you teach me or where can I go to learn? And so I actually partnered with two other people to start the MHP Tribe. Actually, I didn't start it. Someone else did. And I came on as a partner in it. And it's basically, it started out as a Facebook group, and then we turned it into an education company where people can come in and learn about how to invest in mobile home parks. And then we have a mastermind behind that as well. So we choose people who've went through the course that we think are, you know, serious and committed and doing big things. Then we bring them into the mastermind, and that's where we learn together and do deals together and everything. I've got a YouTube channel as well, which kind of started out as just a way for me to put out all the nuggets that people kept asking me the same questions about. I'm like, all right, so why don't I just record this, put this over here, and then I can just point people to get all their questions answered, because it was just more efficient. You know, we're running businesses, right? So for you and I to sit on the phone with people, it's fun. I enjoy it, but there's just only so many hours in a day. So those were two platforms that we put in place to really be able to educate, help other people grow and build strong net worths in the mobile home park industry. So yeah, I'm super pumped about it. I think the most important thing that people need to recognize and understand in the mobile home park space is that it's not just renting out dirt. There's kind of that people think that just because it's a lot rent community, that it's easy to manage and that it's, you know, turnkey, no work. And it's just not true. I mean, especially buying communities that have been let go, mismanaged for many years, just like an apartment building, when it's been run into the ground for so long, they're very management intense to turn around. And so you got to really know what you're doing or you can get hurt. Like, I'm talking to two owners. I got one under contract right now. He bought the park, and guy's super cool guy, very smart when it comes to real estate. He bought this park and 3 days later called his bank and said, you know what, how can I get out of this? And thankfully that banker had just financed another deal for me and said, hey, do you want to take a look at this so you can bail this guy out? And he just said, look, I just realized it's not for me. It's way harder than I expected. This is a much heavier lift than I ever anticipated. I got duplexes. I'm going to keep doing that. Will you just get this off my hands? And I bought another park that way too. I mean, it's just people underestimate the complexity and the difficulty of operating them.
Well, you know, I know you get hit up all the time, right? So you got the YouTube channel and the Facebook page, and now you have your coaching program as well. That's one of the biggest things that, you know, there's a lot of little details, right? You can talk big picture about buying a mobile home park, buying an apartment building. There's a lot that go into it, right? And like you said, you don't want to come across, I don't know, kind of asshole-ish, right? Somebody asks you a question, you're like, hey, I'm too busy to answer you. But but you are too busy to answer, you know, the same question 100 times, right? So that's great. You know, I did the same thing. I started a YouTube channel and I started putting kind of the FAQ questions all the time. Somebody asked me questions, like 4 or 5 questions. Hey, go to my YouTube channel, check them out. Once you get all the basic information, like, hit me up again so we can talk about how we can make money together. That's what I said.
That's exactly how it works. Right? You want to work with people, but to educate them on the basics, it just takes a lot of time. So
for sure. And I don't have a coaching program, but I just put everything on the YouTube channel. Maybe at some point I'll do a coaching program. And that way,
but you got a kick ass. You got a kick ass mastermind, though.
Man, it was pretty cool. I was pretty humble. We were out there, right? We had a couple of people talking for the first time, and they're like super sweet up there. A couple in their 30s, like, yeah, we just sold like, I don't know, 300 apartments or 600, and we netted $22 million. I'm like, $22 million. I'm like, hell yeah, man! You need to be like pumped up, like, you know.
Heck yeah!
But I was hell yeah. I'm like, that's not bad. That's not bad. In the last 6 months, right? Like, okay, so you definitely got some money to spend, right? So. They were actually considering like kind of retiring, taking care of the kids. They're like under 6. And then after they left the house, they start real estate again. But I don't know. They probably won't. Once you got
it's hard. It's like, hard to not do anything after you've been a deal junkie for years, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I know. Cool. Let me see what other questions I got here. Tell me, what's the YouTube channel?
MarioDatillo.tv. It's Mario, so DATTILO .tv. Yep.
And let me see. YouTube channel. Facebook group, your coaching program. So how does somebody get a hold of your coaching program?
Just mhptribe.com. Okay. I mean, it's pretty easy to find me on any of the social media platforms. Just search my name. But the podcast actually launches pretty soon. And Javier, you were one of my first guests on the show. So I'm super pumped to have that launching. And so make sure that all your listeners come and listen to that. You did a great job. And we talked about some pretty cool stuff in that, including jets and... and other things that I think people will be both really well educated on, but also entertained by your discussion on there. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And I know we chatted about that, how to launch it properly and have your episodes in the bank and things like that. Right. So don't forget to do some solo episodes.
Yeah. Javier, you've been a great help to me. I appreciate it. Even on like a lot of the social media tips, things like that. It's been very valuable. So I think your listeners know that already, but I just want to say thank you because it's been super valuable.
Well, I also want to thank everybody, all the listeners out there, because we actually officially hit like our first year. So Mario, you're kind of like on the anniversary.
Awesome.
And we are at, we're averaging a little bit over 13,000 downloads per month. And we're like top 1% in our niche of real estate. So I cannot have done it without guests like you, Mario, and without our listeners. So I don't even know how many 5-star reviews I got. I think like 300, I think. So it's pretty,
I'm
very, very humble. It took about a year and a lot of work, but you know, do every day. You're launching yours. It's definitely going to be, it's going to be even better, right? Because now you get to ask questions from other people. Hey, what'd you do wrong? What can I do best? Right. And it's the way it works.
I was picking your brain after that interview. Yeah. I'm like, hey, how'd you do this? And you know, what's cool about the podcast, and this is, I think this is relevant to all your listeners too, even if they don't have a podcast, the podcast value is obviously you want to educate your listeners that, and it adds a ton of value to them. There's also a lot of opportunity in the people that you network and get to know better through being a guest on your show. And so regardless of whether you have a podcast or not, the fact that you found a way to put high performing A players in a room for half an hour to an hour to get to know them, the opportunities go up. Like you and I were just talking about a deal earlier this week. I mean,
that's right.
Now that we've gotten to know each other better, now we're talking about doing deals together. And so, you know, find whatever platform you want to use, find ways to get together with other high performing people that you can do deals with and partner with. And it's going to just massively explode your business and your investments.
Mario, I'm super excited about your podcast, YouTube channel, subscribe, following your social media, Instagram. We have all those links. If we don't have them, I'm sure we do, but they'll be on the show notes. So make sure you follow Mario if you have not. So this brings me to my favorite part of the show. And I'm going to share I'm definitely going to share my screen here. Let me see where I'm at. All right.
You're not going to quiz me on movies, are you?
I am not.
Okay, good, because I suck at those.
No worries. So I have a roulette here. It's called the Naked Truth Roulette, which I'm going to ask you three random questions. It's got nothing to do with investing, right? We got to make sure that Mario is not an alien, a robot, right? He's a human being. And we're going to get to know you a little bit better on a personal level.
Can I tell you something though, Javier, really quick? I forgot to mention this. When I found out the name of your show, I mean, I've listened to it before, but I haven't watched it. Okay. And so when we got scheduled to have me on your show, I was starting to wonder, should I be showing up with clothes on or no clothes? And so I'm glad I guessed right.
Well, actually it's a rumor out there that I do this in my underwear. Just can't tell. I will not confirm or deny that rumor. Okay.
Love it.
Somebody want to show up in their underwear. I'm like, well, that's up to you guys, but
it's a little weird.
Awesome. All right, cool. So let's spin this. First question.
Softballs, please.
Oh man, I think you're gonna have a hard one, the very first one. Ooh, super close. Let's see. No, you didn't get the harder one. All right. How do you feel about pineapple on your pizza?
Oh, I think it's disgusting. I've never been able to eat it. To me, it's just weird. I mean, I get the salty and sweet with the ham and it's just weird to me. I'm a hard pass when it comes to the pineapple on pizza.
You know,
I like sausage and mushroom all the way.
There you go. When I was younger, I used to enjoy it a lot, just the whole Hawaiian pizza. Now that I'm a little bit older, I'll have it every once in a while, but not as much as I used to, because now I get the texture of the tomato sauce in there and it's warm. It's different.
Can't do warm pineapple, man. It just doesn't do it for me.
Well, warm pineapple you can do at a Brazilian steakhouse.
True. I can do it there because they like crystallize it and torch it. Yeah, no, that's sure. different. That's
and
candy.
By the way, that's to clean your palate so you can have something else to eat, by the way.
Yeah.
I did not know that. My wife taught me that. All right.
Very
cool.
Good.
Second question.
The suspense.
All right. Oh yes. If you could take any celebrity on a date, who would it be?
Oh geez. Well, I would probably take my wife. Her name is Star. So it kind of sounds like a
celebrity.
Superstar. Yeah, like a celebrity.
Well, I'll tell you if you don't answer this, I'm going to send a message to your wife and I'm going to ask her who she's going to date, right? I'm sure she'd answer.
Cameron Diaz. Not Cameron Diaz. For any other reason, but she's funny and she's a pretty well-known actor.
All right. We'll take
Don't
that.
Get me divorced we'll over this, man.
Okay, all right. Next question. Here we go.
This is good, man. I need to get something like this on my show.
Oh man, it just brings a little bit more. Look at that. I you know what? Look, hold on. this is the best part, because you're the second person that gets the same question back to back. I put this question like six times in that roulette. You know what I mean? Just to make sure I try to get at least one time.
Yeah, you want
to
make sure you get somebody on it.
Yeah, I want to make sure I get that in there, you know? When I answer this question.
So who would you take? Who would you take on a date? What celebrity? Or waiting?
I think I would take Scarlett Johansson.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Favorite food. Mario, what is your favorite food?
Dude, I love food. That's such a hard question. So I love pizza. I mean, I could eat pizza. My wife laughs at me because I'll eat pizza and then 2 days later, she'll be like, so what do you feel like? I'm like, pizza sounds good.
That's great.
So I got to say pizza is probably my number one food. Like I could eat it
sausage
anywhere.
Sausage and mushrooms.
Sausage and mushrooms. I grew up eating it that way.
All right. Any particular pizza place out there in Naples or that you like?
Yeah. So there's, when you come and check out your building down in Naples here, you and I'll go to a good pizza spot. It's like a total hole in the wall. It's like you'd drive past it, never even notice it, but the folks are from Italy and they're just, it's Pepe's Pizza. And it's like, it's very, very good. So it reminds me of when I've had pizza in Italy. It's very good.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I want to thank you for answering these questions, being a good sport and surviving the Naked Truth Roulette.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. So one of the things that I want to do here coming up, I'm about to take a trip this summertime with my family. But when I come back, I want to definitely get on some spouses of entrepreneurs on the show.
Just have a
conversation. And I'm probably going to regret this, but I'm going to have my wife. She'll be the very first guest. Well, actually, no. Moo, my partner's wife, Stephanie, was on the show maybe about a year ago, and she was the first female guest. And as far as a spouse for, what is it like to be married to an entrepreneur? So that's going to be, man.
That will be interesting because I think people totally underestimate the complexity and difficulty and stress that comes from being married to an entrepreneur.
Exactly.
We're always there. We're physically there, but we're not mentally there most of the time, at least for me.
So it's June 1st, right? So yesterday, which is the 31st of May, if you guys listen to this a little bit later, check out my Facebook or my social media. I did a post with my wife and I said, honey, what's the one negative part about being married to an entrepreneur? And she just started going off like all these. I'm like, whoa. I said,
oh, just one.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. So anyways, that's kind of got me more into the idea of having some spouses out of here, right? And I'm going to run these same questions to them as well.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea because then you plug in all the spouses that maybe aren't in the entrepreneurship world, but they want to learn how to deal with their entrepreneur spouse.
Exactly, right? My wife's like, I should have a mastermind or a meetup with women just to deal with you guys.
Yeah,
you guys are just strange. You're kind of weird. You're not normal.
Yeah. Thankfully, I got a wife that puts up with me and kind of knew going into the relationship that she was marrying a deal junkie. And that's the most important thing. I think it's harder when, people get married and when they first meet, they're not in that lifestyle. And then one of them goes and takes off with a business and they're like, wait a minute, I didn't marry you. This isn't what I expected. I wanted my time. And at least she kind of knew going into it, what she was getting into. But
were you talking to my wife at Vegas, man? Cause that's exactly what she tells me.
Really?
We did the business. We already been married. And then I started the business. She's like, I didn't sign up for all your trips. I didn't sign up for all these late calls. I'm like, oh, shoot. So I get that all the time.
I did not agree to be going to all these events and being your sidekick to all this.
Yeah, well, she definitely does. She definitely makes me look good, which is great.
She does. She holds her own for sure.
I know your wife, we couldn't do it without our spouses for sure, right? This is challenging enough that if we didn't have some support at home, it'd be even a lot harder. So
heck yeah.
Awesome. Mario, any last words before I let you go?
No, I think the most important thing that people should be thinking about right now in today's market and kind of what's going on is they should really be thinking about what kind of property type they should be investing in and look at the economy, where you think it's going. Are people going to have a lot of disposable cash to go and to buy homes or to rent places that are more expensive? Are they looking to be more affordable? And just position yourself to benefit for where the economy is going versus where it's been. And so in whatever property type that is, even different strategies within the same property type, just position yourself well, because I think things are changing. We're seeing it. I think it's going to get ugly and there's going to be a lot of opportunity in that. So be positioned to take advantage of it.
Cool. That's definitely some good advice because I think we are going to head into recession. I think the real estate side, we should be pretty safe because we got some inflation coming. But still, right, just be open to opportunities.
There's many people who overpaid or didn't finance properly, and so they're going to be pushed into a sale, and there's going to be opportunity for the people who have set aside enough liquidity and are prepared and know what they're doing to take advantage of that. And I think it's good.
Cool. Also, Mario, thank you so much for being on the show. And the name of your podcast, do you have a name for it?
Mario DiTillo Show. Super, awesome. Super yes. Unique.
I was hoping you'd go with something like that. Yes, that's awesome.
Mario DiTillo Show. Trying to keep the brand all Let's consistent.
Go. There you go, man. Awesome.
Javier, thanks for having me on, man. This has been a blast. Yeah, love doing stuff pleasure. With you, and let's do some deals together.
For sure. Thank you so much for being on the show. I am your host, Javier. Don't lose your shirt.
Just as promised, I like to give out free stuff, some tools and tips that's actually helped me in my business. There's nothing out there like getting some free stuff that people have spent a lot of time, energy in putting together. It's like a referral. Somebody asked me for an electrician. You don't know what kind of brain damage I had to go through to give you this good referral for an electrician. You got to appreciate referrals from people, okay? Because they went through a lot to find that one good person. So I'm going to give you my due diligence template for buying apartment buildings. It's attached to monday.com. It is an affiliate link, so they're going to send me a kickback, not a lot, but a little bit. But you can either download it as an Excel, or you can put it on monday.com. Monday.com is pretty cool because it's a project management platform software. It's super cool. I use it all the time for my social media, for my team, tracking deals, doing tasks for everybody. It's actually pretty good. You can track construction. It's a project management platform. It's really cool. Monday, like the day, monday.com. So my due diligence checklist is there for free for you.
This has been The Naked Truth. Our mission is to give it to you raw. If you got value from this episode, you're invited to leave an honest written review and share this episode with a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.